Well, good evening, and thank you for being here. If you take your Bibles, if you will, and open up to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, because we're going to look at some of the verses that Brother Mike read this evening. I want to ask a question, and the question is this: how can Christianity help me? How can Christianity help us? And I believe that that is a very interesting question, because many of us, being Christians, and many of us for many, many years, maybe we have forgotten how helpful Christianity has been in our life. Christianity cannot be regulated to a list of beliefs that we must hold, or a list that we can check off. Well, I got that done today, so I'm good there. And you know, tomorrow I'll work on this, and that way I can check that off the list. That's not Christianity. Christianity is a way of life. And that way of life is a good life. How do I know? Because the Apostle John, by the Holy Spirit, tells us so. John chapter 10 and verse 10, talking about Jesus, talking about himself. He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." And that word there literally has the idea of going beyond. It's the extraordinary. It's far above the normal. So Jesus himself says that the thief only comes to kill and to steal and destroy, but I've come that you may have life, life more abundantly. And I want us to concentrate on that fact, that as Christians, we have life abundantly, exceeding, beyond, extraordinary, far above. So this evening, I want us to examine a few points concerning the practical side of Christianity by asking this question: how can Christianity help my life? First of all, I believe Christianity affects our integrity. If you look at your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, Paul writes, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another." You know, I found it kind of interesting when I looked at this verse and done a little bit of a word search on the word members. Literally, it's body parts. Now that seems kind of gross, doesn't it? But the idea is that we are all a part of one another. We're, as Christians, we are a part of each other. And because we are a part of each other, we do not like to be lied to or cheated. Christianity brings honesty and integrity in a relationship. Christianity brings honesty and integrity, a code of morals, soundness. What do you think? Do you think Christianity brings integrity to our lives? I believe it does. And I believe that the Bible helps us to understand that being a Christian will affect our integrity. Paul says here, "Wherefore, putting away lying," as Christians, you know, we're not to lie. "Speak every man truth with his neighbor." That means we don't lie. "For we are members, a part of one another." if we're a part of one another, why would we want to harm a part of us? You know, I look at it like this. You get angry at your thumb, so you smack it with a hammer, right? Is that how it goes? Now, I have smacked my hand or my fingers, and especially my thumb. You know, back when I was younger, I used to do construction work. And I carried a 32-ounce Eastway steel rubber-handled hammer. And it was a framing hammer, which means it had a corrugated head on it. And I'm going to tell you what, you draw back and you smack your thumb with that corrugated head, you know what it did? It left marks. And I still got some scars. Why would we want to do something like that to someone that's a part of us? I believe that Christianity does affect our integrity. It makes us better people. It makes us better people in society. People will look up to us because they see a difference. You know, worldly people, many times they don't think nothing about lying or not telling the truth, maybe to get an advantage or something to that nature. But as Christians, our integrity must be the most important thing in our lives. Because if people see that we do not have good morals, would they want to be a part of us? Secondly, I believe that Christianity affects our emotions. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. You know, sometimes that's very difficult. Sometimes being angry, we do sin. But we're told here by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, be ye angry and sin not. And again, that's very hard to do sometimes. But notice what he goes on. He says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Why do you think Paul put in here to not let the sun go down upon your wrath? And that word there, wrath, literally is anger. I believe it's this. If you let the sun go down, and literally that means you're going to bed. You go down and you go to bed full of anger. How do you feel the next morning? Do you wake up thinking all is well? Or perhaps do you wake up even angrier because it was not discussed, talked about, and resolved before you went to bed? And more interesting is the fact that if, I believe, and this is why Paul added it, let not your sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Anger is the devil's workshop. Did you know that? Anger will cause us to do things that we would normally not do. Anger would cause us to say things that we normally would not say. Emotions are not intrinsically evil. We all have emotions, don't we? Love, hatred, anger, and so on. These things within themselves are not wrong. It's the object of those things. It's the object of those emotions that make those emotions good or evil. Should we hate a person because of their sin? Should we hate someone because of the sin that they commit? No. But can we hate the sin? Yeah, we should. As Christians, we need to keep our emotions basically in check. Again, it's not wrong to become angry, but it does become wrong if that anger causes us to sin. Hatred, the hatred of sin, is fine. But just because someone is sinning does not mean that we should hate that person. Should we? Number three. Christianity affects, I believe, our behavior. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Christianity will cause us to stop doing wicked things and cause us to begin doing things for which there is no law against. Now, keep your place in Ephesians. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. And let's look, starting at verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. These are the things that cause sin, that cause us to do things that we should not be doing. All right? Verse 19. Galatians chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance or strife, emulations, jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, disagreements, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings or carousing, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's look at this list again. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings. This is a list of do not do. These are the things that Paul is telling us to stay away from. Christianity affects our behavior. In the time before we were Christians, which of these things were we perhaps involved in? Was it adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred? You know, Paul is telling us these things affect our behavior. If we're going to be doing these things, then we are going to be acting unbecoming. We will be an abomination to God. But now notice what Paul tells us that we should be doing. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the things that help us to change our behavior. love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These things there is no law against. But the other things is law-breaking. Being a Christian, Christianity helps us in our behavior. Christianity will cause us to stop doing sinful, wicked things and cause us to begin doing things for which there is no law against. And these are the things that we should be doing in verse 22 and 23. So do you believe that Christianity affects our behavior? Have you ever known someone who was a sinner? Most of us probably know somebody like that. And then they've obeyed the gospel. Did you see the transformation? Yeah, it may have taken a little while. But Christianity affects who we are and how we act. So Christianity very much does affect our behavior. Number four, Christianity affects our speech. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In the context of that verse, corrupt speech stands in contrast to speech that edifies. The word there used in the King James, in the English version, corrupt, literally means rotten, worthless, useless. It's talking about negative talk. It's talking about critical talk. And negative talk critical talk is just as wrong as swearing and coarse joking. Corrupt communication, that has an interesting translation, I guess, for lack of a better word. It literally has the idea of anger. Quick-tempered. The word ministers there, because it says, let no corruption proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. The word there, litter, is to give or to grant. So look at it like this. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may grant grace unto the hearers. Interesting, isn't it? To give or to grant grace. That's how our talk should be. Not critical, not negative, but giving of grace. It is helping those that we're talking to and communicating with to see Christ in us. Lastly, number five. Christianity affects our kindness. Look at verse 32 in Ephesians 4. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Christianity involves more than simply withholding evil. It involves in doing good. It involves being kind. It involves being benevolent. Notice here what Paul is telling the Ephesians. First of all, we are to be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, compassionate, caring, loving, forgiving one another. That's important. Being tender-hearted, caring, loving, supportive, that's important. But most importantly is our forgiving one another. Notice what it says there. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Did Christ demand us? Did he want us to repent before he died on the cross? He wanted the Jews to, but because they didn't, they were rejected. But notice, Christ died on the cross while we were still yet sinners, while we still deserved death with no hope of eternal salvation. But God forgave us for Christ's sake. And it says here that we are to forgive one another as God forgave us for Christ's sake. Let me ask you this. If someone has done you wrong, I'm sure that somewhere in your life someone has done you wrong. Did you forgive them? Or did you demand that they come and ask for forgiveness, or did you demand that they apologize? Stop and think about this. What if before Christ died, he told the world, you must repent and stop sinning or I'll not die? Where would we be? We are to forgive one another as God forgave us because of Christ. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for the world. Christ died while we deserved death, while we were still living in sin. He still went to the cross. He still shed his blood. So how should we forgive those who sin against us? We should forgive as God forgave, because Christ died for that person just as he died for you. There's many people in the world today that maybe have offended us or done us wrong. Or do we forgive them? We should. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, last verse. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Treat others like you want to be treated. This is what's known as the golden rule. We've all heard this and we understand what it means. Whatever you would do, or whatever ye would that men should do to you, whatever you want others to do to you, do to them. If you want compassion, if you want love, if you want understanding, if you want caring, then should we not be loving, understanding, caring, and so on? I believe we should. Christianity can help because it affects our integrity. It affects our emotions. It affects our behavior. It affects our speech. And it affects our kindness. Christians should be the most kind-hearted people in the world. Shouldn't we? Christianity is not a pie-in-the-sky religion. Nor does it just concern itself with, you know, far-away future concepts. It is a religion that meets and prepares us for our future needs. But it is also a religion that meets and prepares us for our present needs. Let us so live a Christian life that people will see us and literally want what we have to offer. And that's Jesus Christ and His blood. This evening, if you're here in need of prayer, whatever the reason might be, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?